Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Even though severe cases can be rare, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is still the leading cause of hospitalization in babies under one. RSV often begins like a cold or the flu, but can quickly spread to your baby's lungs. Ask your doctor about preventative antibodies for your baby this season, and visit protectagainstrsv.com. The information presented is for general educational purposes only. Please ask your healthcare provider about any questions regarding your health or your baby's health.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final on this Thursday on the early line. But more than just a Thursday or any normal day on TEL here on the Spiz Grizz Network, it is the season debut of the National Football League season in 2024. Tonight inside Arrowhead Stadium, it's an AFC Championship game rematch from a year ago. Tonight to kick off a new year, it's the Chiefs. It's the Ravens. Kansas City, a 3-point favorite, the total of 46.5. So many bets, picks, previews, and breakdowns coming your way in this third and final hour. But DRS, before we get to all of that, before we hear from the people which side they lean on for tonight, this really does start our football season schedule. It's been just college football the past couple of weekends, so I do want to remind the people what things are going to look like on the early line, but even outside of that, let the people know what we got on the Spiz Grizz Network tonight for the NFL season debut.
Yeah, a little bit. And again, to be honest, like the name of the, can somebody give me the actual name of the show? Can I call it Pro Football Today In-Game Live? Is that what it's actually called? Like, is there an official name to the show?
Our producer, Joe Frieza, would know better. I believe it is Pro Football Today Game Day.
Oh, is that what it is? Game night, it should be prime time. Can I make a change to it, by the way? Can I name the show tonight and let it rip? Because I think I would do a pretty good job with that. But yes, to get to the point, the boys will be in studio tonight. For me tonight, I'll be making a hit live in studio with Kevin Walsh on Game Time Decisions. Then the boys will be back in the chair for, I believe, around 7:30 tonight to give a nice little preempting primer of what we're going to do. And then 8:14, which is kickoff tonight between Kansas City and Baltimore, the boys, myself, Kevin Walsh, Joe Lisi in the chairs, full game, in-game live betting, fun. Yeah. You don't want to miss out. It's the perfect way to start your football season off, but I would like to get the name of the show, to be honest, so I can promote it appropriately here.
The confirmed name of the show and a catchy title with a lot of alliteration.
What do we got?
NFL Football In-Game Live Game Day. Did you get all that?
Oh, come on. I mean, look, they give me the early line and money line, and I'm supposed to say that quick, and it's like sometimes I still have to take a look at my notes 6 months in, be like, which show am I actually on? It can't. Yeah. Look, how about Pro Football Today prime time? What's wrong with that? We can't do that.
It's the branding of your show. I don't know necessarily why that is not the case, but confirmed NFL Football In-Game Live Game Day.
Wow. Yeah, that's not a good luck, Kevin Walsh, opening and closing with that bad boy multiple times tonight. We'll see it happen.
All right. So we've got all of the names of our programming because this is actually very important. Football season fully kicks off tonight. Pro Football Today, with Casey, hosted by Casey Hudson. That's how we're going to get you set for the action on this Thursday in Kansas City. Thursday Night Football Half Show. That's Casey Hudson and Tom Vecchio. NFL Pro Football Today postgame show. Casey Hudson and Tom Vecchio to recap everything we saw on this Thursday night in KC. And during the game, as it goes on, NFL Football in-game live game day with DRS, Joe Lisi, and Kevin Walsh.
Exactly. And we're excited. We're ready to go. A couple friends, a couple brothers, a couple people just watching the game itself, laying down bets. Who doesn't love that here? So make sure you tune in. And by the way, all football season long across the Sports Grid Network, great lineups across the board designed to get you ready. And also handicap those games live in action. You can't beat that, Ben. You can't.
And Pro Football Today, the show that you know is the pregame best 3 hours to get you set for every Sunday's slate, that officially debuts with DRS, Lisi, and Kev on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern to 1 p.m. Eastern time, ahead of the first full Sunday slate this National Football League season. And again, a small and very quick reminder, because it is football season and DRS is logging those primetime hours, tomorrow in each and every Friday, it will be myself and Joe Ranieri for a Football Friday on the Early Line to set the stage for the weekend. We are officially in our football schedule. Mondays, it's Donnie and I. Tuesdays, it's me and Ranieri. Wednesdays, it's DRS and Dubsy, Andrew Anderson. Thursday, Donnie and I back together. Friday, me and Joe Ranieri to send you in to your weekend because of those primetime shows and where Donnie is going to be.
And the only question is, does Joe Ranieri actually knows he will be on those shows with you, Ben? Make sure we're sending those texts out here so he knows to be in the chair and ready to go for football season. And also, Ben, I do respect the hustle. I got word the reason the first hour was not technical difficulties. You were pulling a Jamar Chase on a contract negotiation on day one of football. I got a lot of respect for that. So shout out. Good work by your agent. Let's go. Hopefully you got paid and you're back. So I love it.
All of that, of course, is very, very true. All right, now let's hear from the people in terms of what we have for this Thursday night and season opener in Kansas City. What's the best bet? Are we looking to the Chiefs? Are we looking to the flock as the underdog? Will we see some points, or will points be at a premium in KC, Mo? We hear from you all and fade the public. DRS, I believe we have shared a few times as we do the Fade the Public poll, especially during the summer months, where we have to be a little bit more creative when it's not football season, that anything even football-related, off-season drama, off-the-field news, whatever it might be, always garners the most attention and participation from the public. You want a further indication? More than 400 votes for the FTP at SportsGrid on Twitter. What is the best bet for tonight's Ravens versus Chiefs game? KC laying 3 at home. Baltimore getting 3 on the road as the dog. Over 46.5, under the total of 46 and a hook. Which way did Donnie right side vote?
You want a balanced attack, and we got that here. 26%, 35%, 16%, 24% across the board. I did vote. My vote went in this morning for the Kansas City Chiefs at a -3 price, along with the other 26% of the people sending in their votes. I just look at it this way. It's Patrick Mahomes. They're at home. They're healthy. And whenever that is the case, I expect a victory out of Kansas City. And the line isn't high enough for me to bend to say, you know what? I think the Chiefs have a decent game, but I think the Ravens can cover as if it was 6.5 or 7.5 points. You look at that 3, you're picking the winner of this football game, essentially, and that winner to me is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'll take it, along with 26% of the people out there. So technically, I guess I'm fading the public, since the public is more on the Ravens side than the Chiefs, so be it.
I actually lean on the under, not just because of what we saw in the season debut last year in Kansas City, but I think defense leads for both of these teams, at least at the jump. We know the names offensively. We know that we have the two most recent MVP winners. Two of the three guys who have won an MVP award in the last 6 seasons. Patrick Mahomes against Lamar Jackson. But Donnie, the defenses were really the difference last year, I think, for both. Baltimore under in 10 of 19 games, including the AFC title against KC. The Chiefs under in 14 of 21 games. That's 67% about of their games a season ago. third highest under percentage in the National Football League. I believe in KC's defense from the very start once again. And let's not forget, in the season opener last year against Detroit, Kansas City was without Travis Kelce, but on the defensive side of the football, without Chris Jones because of the holdout as well. He is there. He is healthy. He is happy. He is paid. I lean under 46 and a hook.
I think it makes sense, too, because you have to understand the pathway to victory against the Chiefs. Now, granted, we're not playing high school. Hey, keep the Chiefs off the field. That doesn't work. Otherwise, everybody would beat the Chiefs. Just keep them off the field. They also, Spagnuolo knows they want to run the football, but the question is, can you stop it? And also, how effective can it be? 4 yards to 4.5 yards per carry. They'll take that. If I'm looking at the wide receiver position for the Ravens, you look at Zay Flowers. I like him. He's still young. We'll see if he matures in his second year and continues on that upward path. But outside of that, Rashad Bateman, Nelson Agholor, Deontay Hardy, Tylan Wallace. I'm not happy with those guys. I like the tight ends to keep the chains moving. I like Derrick Henry to keep the chains moving. And the same thing with Lamar Jackson. Well, how many explosive plays do we get tonight? Maybe less than what you anticipate. So I'm with you. More likely an under for me than an over in this game.
Yeah, and I look when things come to the receivers at Kansas City. 5.5, the receiving yards prop for Travis Kelce out there in the opener. Still Mahomes' favorite target despite the development of Rashee Rice and maybe the addition of the speedster in Xavier Worthy. A quick break to baseball next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NFL season starts tonight in Kansas City inside Arrowhead, but we are firmly in the final month of this MLB regular season. October is on the horizon. The hunt for the postseason remains strong in Major League Baseball, which means our MLB insider and the host of Newswire, starting each and every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Craig Mish, joins us here on this Thursday on TEL. Craig, we appreciate the time as always.
Can't wait to get into it. We are officially at the home stretch of the Major League Baseball season. I think this is going to be a fight to the finish for a number of teams. It's the way baseball wants it set up, so let's roll.
I think we're going to touch them all today around the diamond, and then I also believe on top of that, maybe Craig Mish parts with a parting best bet for Thursday night in KC. But before we do that, each and every bag, it's the Daily Basis. Seventh straight, Craig Mish, for the New York Mets in the hunt for that third and final National League wild card spot. The Braves are playing the Rockies, so bad news for New York. Atlanta has won both of the first two games of that set. Still a half-game deficit for the Amazons to make up, but they are doing all they can. Seven consecutive victories for the Mets. What has spurned on this late charge out of New York?
Yeah, the stars are shining for them. Pete Alonso and, more importantly, Francisco Lindor. I mean, those have been two big reasons. The pitching has been good. They're finally being able to close out some games, although their bullpen has been shaky all season long. But, you know, it's sort of incredible to think that a year ago the Mets said goodbye to Scherzer and Verlander and Robertson and Canha and all these other players, and they're much better this year without them. I don't know what that speaks to, but look, they're playing very good baseball at the moment. I think they're going to fight this thing all the way right down to the end. Guys, this is like a horse race that's coming down the stretch with them and the Braves, and it's just kind of like too close to call at the moment. So I feel like my best advice would be to sit back and enjoy this thing and see who ends up winning, because for me, it's just flip that coin right now. They're both playing good baseball. I don't know.
Yeah, camaraderie there for the Mets, certainly there. And also with the Atlanta Braves trying to stay just ahead of the Mets, the Philadelphia Phillies back to winning. The NL East playing great baseball at the top of it. If we go up to the West Coast here, I thought it was interesting yesterday. The San Diego Padres, obviously one of the better teams in baseball and ultra-talented. Yu Darvish returns back to the mound. And I was saying to myself, Craig, what happens if Yu Darvish gets back to what he has been doing over, let's just say, the past decade, and what boost that could be for the San Diego Padres? Not the case, though, in that first game back. 2 2/3 innings pitched, 4 hits, 3 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, and a home run given up in this game. What did we see out of Yu Darvish? And also, Craig, what are the expectations for us for Yu Darvish in the month of September?
Well, I mean, Musgrove pitched very well his last time out, Donnie. I think that's more important than Yu Darvish. I mean, Yu Darvish has been gone a while. I believe he's on the restricted list. Didn't see a lot of reporting on that either, so I'm not really sure exactly what's going on there, and so I'm not surprised to see these initial results. He's had really good regular season success. I'm not sure about his postseason success. So, look, I think they would like to get him going. if I'm sort of predicting, Donnie, what would happen in a three-game wild card series, maybe he'd pitch game three. I don't think he'd pitch game one or game two. He could be their third or fourth starter in a seven-game series. So the Padres will hope, but I think we got to call it what it is at this point. They've gotten this far kind of without him. So they're just hoping that they could get anything, I think, to get him into the postseason and pitching well. I wouldn't say that he's a candidate to not be on the postseason roster just yet, but he's going to have to pitch well the last month to be on it.
Jackson Merrill, a three-run home run to bring San Diego back to start their comeback against the Tigers yesterday. Fernando Tatis walking it off for the Padres at home in extra innings. Yu Darvish's first start since the end of May. We expect to see Yoshi Yamamoto for the L.A. Dodgers on Tuesday, at least next week at some point for the first time since the middle of June. Despite how hot the D-backs and the Padres have been, Craig, since the All-Star break, the Dodgers have been keeping pace, a 4.5-game lead in the National League West, because they are getting healthy at the right time. What will the addition of Yamamoto do for the Dodgers' World Series outlook?
Yeah, I mean, this is really big to get him back, and Ben, maybe for him to make a 5-inning start, a 6-inning start, and then maybe one more before the postseason begins, because you know he's going to be in that rotation down the stretch. But you said it right. I think the Dodgers have played themselves through the first half of the season, showcasing everybody that they had. Everyone is playing, but at different times, players have been out. You know, Mookie Betts missed a long period of time during the season. They're going to get right at the right time. And anything less than getting to the World Series for the Dodgers is a failure. So this will be a big help for them. We'll see if they get there.
Afternoon baseball, Craig. I guess you have two games in the 1 o'clock hour. The one full focus on here is the Houston Astros taking on the Cincinnati Reds. Brown versus Lauder. Heavy favorite on the road for the Astros at a -162 price and a total that is listed at 9. Any thoughts tonight? Houston and Cincinnati.
Well, I do have some thoughts, and this will be important for us to have this conversation next year when I'm throwing out these season win totals and we're going over this stuff. Let's not forget what happens over the course of the season. And I'm more focused on that. I'm already looking toward next year with this stuff. So, and you know, we're going to hit the two totals we gave out at the beginning of the year. Guys, the Reds are 12 and 26 in one-run games this season. They played a lot of close games, and they lost almost them all. Two different opinions. Number one, I don't ever give this kind of play out usually on the show. I don't think I've done it once all season long, but I probably would play the Reds plus a run and a half because they're playing so many one-run games and losing. So we don't care if they win or lose. We just care if they fall within a run. And then the second thing is we got to keep a close eye on that Reds win total next season because that 12 and 26 could be 26 and 12 next season. One-run games are impossible to predict on a year-by-year basis. It is probably the luckiest stat in all of baseball. It just shows that one year you were lucky and one year you were not. Believe me, the Reds will have a much better record in one-run games next season. We're going to keep an eye on that going into next year.
There has been some promise in Cincinnati. Last year, the late charge, trying to get back in the NL wild card chase. This year, albeit six games below 500, but they've won three straight, looking for the sweep of the Great American Ballpark against the Astros this week. All right, Craig Mish. Debut of the NFL season tonight in Arrowhead. Chiefs a 3-point favorite against the Ravens, 46.5 the total. What's your early lean?
Early lean on all of the NFL games this week is overs on first halves. I think the kickoff rule is going to play a big factor in the first half of NFL games. I'm going to take the over in the first half of the Chiefs-Ravens, 23, 22.5, depending on where you can get it. I think it'll normalize over the course of the season, but points are going to go up by two or three this year with the kickoff rule. I think the first half is the first place to look.
Craig's normally an under guy, too. An over out of Craig Mish. Thank you. More on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Only a 9-game slate in Major League Baseball on this Thursday, probably understanding that the National Football League is the focus today. And of those 9 games, 4 of the 9 in the afternoon hours in their respective ballparks. We start in San Francisco. It's the Giants and the Diamondbacks. San Francisco looking to avoid a sweep against Arizona, booked as nearly a dollar and a half favorite at home. Blake Snell gets the start against Merrill Kelly. 7.5 is the total, slightly on its way up. The D-backs have won both of the first two games of this set. Yesterday, Zach Gallen, no-hit baseball through six innings, did throw 100 pitches, so didn't get the chance to prolong the no-hit bid against the Giants, but Arizona has won the first two in San Francisco.
And by the way, yesterday, my favorite team total of the night was the Arizona Diamondbacks. They played six runs to cash that over. It's going to be much harder to score runs today. Birdsong yesterday, not a great pitcher. Blake Snell, maybe the best overall pitcher in baseball over the past 60 days. Why do I say that? Take a look at this. 10 games started over the past 2 months here. 62 2/3 innings pitched here. How about an ERA, Ben, of 1.30 with an xFIP of 290. Absolutely tremendous. Pitcher's ballpark. He should be able to be dominant tonight. And you take a look at that Arizona Diamondbacks lineup today. Struggling over the past 30 days against left-handed pitching. This should be a great performance out of him against a pretty good lineup. On the opposite side, Merrill Kelly. Look at his last 30 days, Ben. 98 batters he's faced. An ISO of 307 against. A weighted on base percentage of 427 against. He's been absolutely hammered. This is the pitching mismatch. If we have 15 pitchers, Ben, on the card today, 60 days, minimum of 20 innings. You got number one versus number 15. This should be a win for the Giants today.
Blake Snell was so great in August, really since his return in July. In July, he did not win a decision, but had a 0.75 ERA, only allowing 2 earned in 4 starts, 7 earned in 6 starts in August. 2-0 with a 1.64 ERA. Meanwhile, you look at Merrill Kelly, who made his return in the month of August since the end of April for Arizona. Gave up 16 earned runs, DRS, but does not have a loss on the resume and actually won 2 games despite a 6.75 ERA. The Giants have been struggling, though. They've lost 4 straight, 6 of their last 7, 9 of their last 12. No longer really in postseason consideration in the National League. Next up on this 9-game slate around MLB, we go to San Diego. The Tigers had a 5-0 lead early yesterday. Detroit playing much better baseball. They've won 10 of their last 14 before the Padres rally and eventually walk it off in extras. San Diego minus 158 is a home favorite today. Total of 8 against the Tigers. What do you like?
Don't really like the pitchers all that much in either side, but having said that, you're still pitching out in Petco, which is a true pitcher's ballpark. Martin Perez hasn't had a great season by any stretch, and over the past 60 days for him, 53 1/3 innings pitch, an ERA right around 4 and an xFIP number of 4.57. Here's the problem. The Detroit Tigers, not a great offense by any stretch, but they haven't hit left-handed pitching all that well over the past month. You take a look at Matt Buehrling and Spencer Torkelson. Outside of them, everybody else pretty much below par. If we flip it over to the other side, take a look at Casey Mize on the mound. Coming back, he's only had 25 batters that he's faced over the past 30 days, been okay against them. It's just one of those where you look at it. Detroit's not going anywhere. The Padres need this game. I know it's not the best way to bet things, but you're taking a look at Martin Perez. I think he can hold down that Detroit offense. You get a lockdown bullpen on the opposite side with San Diego. I'll go that route, lay about that minus 150 price or so. Padres win this baseball game.
The Padres, the top team in the National League wild card, still a half game in front of Arizona. Detroit was 8 games below 500 on August 10th. They've won 15 of 22 since, back to an even 500, but San Diego looks for the sweep at home today. Next, we go to Atlanta. The Braves have won both of the games against the Rockies, bouncing back from the weekend series defeat to Philadelphia. You take out the weekend in Philly, Atlanta's won 8 of their last 9, and they've needed to hold off the Mets, still that half game advantage for the third and final National League wild card spot. The Braves, a hefty favorite yesterday with Charlie Morton on the bump, minus 270. They were a hefty favorite in the opener with Chris Sale, near a $3 favorite today against the Rockies, who have been eliminated, by the way, from NL playoff contention.
Yeah, it's paint by numbers in this game. You should get an easy victory for Atlanta. Ronaldo Lopez here past 60 days, 2.37 ERA. He's been phenomenal since he's been pitching for the Atlanta Braves and an xFIP number of 3.30. Here's the issue. Austin Gomber can't get right out right-handed bats. You're going to get a ton of right-handed action tonight. Only 2 batters, Ozuna and Merrifield, have below average ISO power numbers against left-handed pitching over the past month. They should rake. They should pitch well. It should be another easy victory for the Braves over the Colorado Rockies.
Total is 8. First 2 games, both Atlanta victories. The game has stayed on. The NFL season opens up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now, this is what you want on the opening day of the 2024 NFL season. The prop perspective for Thursday night football and the season debut in Kansas City between the Chiefs and the Ravens with the one, the only, Sports Grids, Tom Vecchio. Vecchio, we appreciate the time bright and early on this Thursday. Long day for you here on the Spiz Grizz. You'll be on the halftime show later with KC Hudson, the postgame show with KC as well, following all the action tonight in Kansas City. A long opening day of the NFL season, but a good one, Vecchio. We appreciate you being here.
Of course, that's right. Opening night tonight. We will also be doing the show for tomorrow night's game. You know, NFL season is here. We waited all summer for this moment. I am ready to go. There's plenty to get to. Not the jack of all trades today. It's just football. Nope. Let's roll.
That's okay. Major League Baseball can take a back seat. So you get that prop perspective, the football extraordinaire for this Thursday night with Tom Vecchio. Kansas City remains a 3-point favorite. The total 46.5 for the season debut tonight in Arrowhead. A lot of what you do, Vecchio, is numbers driven. That's where you go first and foremost and then find the correlated bets to that. So what is the spread and the total telling you about tonight's season opener?
You know, it's what we should be expecting from these two teams. I don't think it would be a surprise to anyone, or at least not to me, if we see this game start off really slow, as we have seen in a lot of openers, you know, really scripted. A part of me wants to go back to the bet that we made a few times last year, if you remember, opening drives, punt, punt for both teams. That's always exciting, starting off the season a little bit slow. Wouldn't mind taking a live over if this number drops to 41, 40, somewhere around there. I think that would be a spot to certainly look. I am on Baltimore at +3. I am on the under as of now, but I will be looking to take a live over if that does drop down and try to find a bit of a middle ground.
Tom, quarterback props here from two MVPs, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Over 269.5 currently at the FanDuel Sportsbook for Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson's number coming in at 217.5. If we look at their rushing props as a quarterback, Patrick Mahomes over 20.5 and Lamar Jackson over 48.5. Any looks at the quarterbacks and the expectations tonight?
Yeah, I think these are pretty spot on. Mahomes' number rising as the day goes on compared to where it opened. I'm not surprised there. A lot of people are going to be betting that. I think continuously, whether it was last season, the year before, moving forward throughout the rest of this year, it's probably going to be Lamar combined at 272 rushing plus passing is always good. But I also do like Mahomes at over 20 because we know he gets pushed out of the pocket. There's so many good options for him downfield that when he does get pushed out, he has been scrambling more and more. And we routinely see that, especially late in the season. So maybe Lamar combined over and then Mahomes just rushing over.
It's a very good look, Vecchio. Let's keep it on the ground. A new face in Baltimore, but a very familiar one in the National Football League. The King is now in the Charm City. Derrick Henry, the lead back for the Ravens. Isaiah Pacheco remains in KC. His total 61.5, a little bit higher for Henry at 65 and a hook. Let's start with Derrick Henry. What do you expect his role to be in this Ravens offense this season and from night number one?
I think it's going to be pretty consistent on a week-to-week basis, especially when we see the Ravens at home and they're, you know, large favorites on the spread. I will say, if you like the Ravens +3 tonight, as I do, there's probably a little bit of correlation we can find with Henry over rushing attempts, because if they're going to be leading the game, they should be in a spot to at least run the ball a little bit. I'm not going to say I love that as one of my favorite bets for tonight's game. I think there are some other bets that I'll certainly be looking to, but there's a little bit of correlation there. I think we can continue to look to Pacheco combined as well, because we know he does play a good role in the passing game. And again, if they are out in front, they will be rushing it. We know he can break off these big runs. So, you know, trying to find some easy stuff to start the season.
A lot of fun bets here to get in, which includes those wide receiver slash tight end props here, receptions. If we're looking at yardage-wise, Rashee Rice, the lead dog here tonight for Kansas City at 60.5 receiving yards currently at the FanDuel Sportsbook. If you're looking at the Baltimore Ravens here, Tom, it's Zay Flowers at 53.5. How do we approach the receivers tonight? Touchdown props, yardage props, reception props? How are we doing that?
Well, for the Ravens, we actually can look at a lot of what they did last year because they're essentially returning the same crew, same receiving core, I should say. Andrews, Flowers, Bateman out there. We know we're going to be getting from them. Justice Hill can come out of the backfield. I think Isaiah Likely is always going to be an interesting option. For the Chiefs, we know that Hollywood Brown is out for tonight. Obviously, drafting Worthy, that should replace that. So a little bit of consistency from the Ravens, we can take that going forward. And then the Chiefs are far more interesting because we know we have Kelce and Rice, like these top two options that we should see on a night-to-night basis. But without Hollywood Brown, at least as of now, what are we going to be seeing from Worthy to start the season? And then how do these three, as of now, work in the dynamic of 1-2-3 in terms of target share overall?
Yeah, Vecchio, that was a key question last year for Kansas City. It explained the drop-off, frankly, offensively for the Chiefs throughout the regular season, the lack of production out of the wide receiver room. So your focus is on the speedster out of Texas, Xavier Worthy, who ran the fastest 40-yard dash we have ever seen in the history of the NFL Combine at 4-2-1. What market do you think the rookie shines tonight in?
Yeah, let's get things going early with a touchdown for him at +175. Like I said, no Hollywood Brown. And when we're looking at Rice and Kelce as really his only competition in terms of target share, this is the spot that I think we'll see him excel. Now, let's just pretend that Hollywood Brown, we know he'd be out for an extended period of time. Week to week, it wouldn't be a surprise to see Worthy as the number one option. Not every game, but on some games, I'm going to say he's, no pun intended, worthy of being the top target share guy on the Chiefs. We know the defense is not going to not be worried about Kelce. So at the one of the best numbers we could possibly get for Worthy, I think potentially for the entire season, I want to jump in early because if Hollywood Brown continues to be out, we're going to see Worthy drop to +130, +120 if the Chiefs offense continues to roll. So let's just jump in early right now, +175.
Tom, how about an under here on the Baltimore Ravens? I know you're scoping out one of those wide receivers to not have a great game. Who is that and why?
Yeah, that's Nelson Agholor, under 14.5 receiving yards. Like I said, they're returning essentially the same receiving core from last year. Last year at a 9.6% target share. It should be going to Flowers. It should be going to Mark Andrews. We know they always want to continue to develop Rashad Bateman. Justice Hill coming out of the backfield. It's not going to be Derrick Henry catching passes. And then, like I said, Isaiah Likely is a good receiving option. So, at best, Nelson Agholor is going to be, what, fourth target share, probably fifth? Yeah. So, he's not a receiver that's going to command 8 or 10 targets a game. It's going to be maybe 3 or 4, and they're probably going to be short ADOT targets. So, Nelson Agholor, under 14.5 yards. It's not the most exciting bet to start the season, but he's not going to be a dominant receiver for the Ravens this year.
A winning wager is an exciting bet, regardless of what it looks like. Is Rashad Bateman going to be healthy? Can we do the same song and dance for a very talented former first-round pick out of Minnesota? You saw Patrick Mahomes over 37.5 pass attempts tonight as well to round out Tom's top props. He'll have plenty more on Sports Grid's coverage throughout the game, at halftime, the post-game recap with Casey Hudson as well. But Vecchio, let's go beyond the season opener tonight or even this week one slate that continues Friday and into the first full Sunday. You look at the Super Bowl odds entering 2024. What is your best bet? Or maybe better said, which team do you believe provides the best value to get in on right now before the season kicks off?
So a couple of notes here. One, I have the Texans at 25-1, which I bet back in April, the day they made the Diggs trade. I got in on that before the odds moved. But as of now, I like the Falcons at 26-1. You know, I'm looking at a team that can potentially win their division. They have a shot at least getting a first-round bye. It's not guaranteed. We know the Lions, Bears, San Francisco, Philly. But there's a shot that they have home field advantage, which is always a plus. So I'll take the Falcons up at 26-1.
I like that look. 26-1. Vecchio, just a follow-up there. Would the Falcons be then a team you are looking to cash out or hedge out with at a certain time? Or do you think Kirk Cousins can lead the Dirty Birds to a Lombardi Trophy?
I would roll with the Falcons just for that price. They pick up a bunch of wins. They push to 11 or 12. Then you could look to some options later in the season.
Tom Vecchio, we will see you later all across the Sports Grid Network on the opening night of the 2024 NFL season. Glad to have you here this year on the Spiz Grizz. Some more best bets for the Thursday night debut up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2024 National Football League season starts tonight. The season debut in Kansas City at the home of the two-time reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs as they will host the Baltimore Ravens in an AFC title game rematch from a season ago. Kansas City went to Baltimore. They won outright as a 4.5-point underdog, 17-10. It was the first time in six consecutive trips to the AFC championship the Chiefs were booked as an underdog and on the road. The Chiefs, a favorite, crazy, back in Arrowhead tonight, laying 3 points against the flock. Total at 46.5. Donnie, we've been on this show. I mean, you've been on the show for about 2 hours and 45 minutes. I've been here for the better part of 2 hours, as you will be sitting there tonight on NFL Football In-Game Live Game Day alongside Kevin Walsh and Joe Lisi, the PFT crew. What will your bets be? Where will you have your attention?
Most of the time, I'm going to have it probably in prop bets tonight. And the reason I say that is, through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season, it's always been this way for me. It's always tough to understand who's going to be the best team right out of the gate. And then by week three, you know, you might have a good game out of the gate, bad game week number two. You can sort of get that even flow out of the way. But having said that, bets for me on the sides, probably not tonight, but I do think the Kansas City Chiefs win this game. So if I were betting this game from a side perspective, -3 is the direction I would go. Now, the total itself, we'd have some, you know, good cappers on here as well and thought processes over the past 2 weeks. It doesn't look like a lot of people, and it's tough to say too, like Ravens Chiefs opening night, good weather right out of the gate. You should get close to 50 points, right? But a lot of people leaning towards the under. We can see that because the pathway to victory tonight, I don't think is the explosive play. It's getting first downs, moving the chains, eating the clock, setting up good field position. I think that's a recipe for success, particularly for the Ravens. So 46.5, pretty much a neutral there. Could go over, could go under for me. But from a side perspective, I do think the Chiefs win. But if we are looking more at that prop perspective range here, Ben, I tend to myself leaning towards the running backs. I do think Derrick Henry and Isaiah Pacheco, two great options to score an anytime touchdown tonight. Because as we brought up, the depth charts are very important. How many times do we see like, oh no, like, you know, Gibbs and Montgomery in Detroit. It's just who's in on the goal line here. You know who's going to be on the goal line for this football team. It's Pacheco for Kansas City, and it's going to be Derrick Henry for the Baltimore Ravens. And I am looking from a passing perspective. I do think some pretty good numbers get put up here. But for some reason, Ben, I keep gravitating over to the tight end setup here for the Baltimore Ravens. Likely 15.5 yards. He could get that on one reception. Super athletic. Mark Andrews healthy to start the season. I think it's a great way to attack with Lamar Jackson here to go to their tight end set. So from a betting standpoint here, I don't have any official plays in the door just yet. We'll have a couple this afternoon, certainly on the game as we go through live. But that's sort of my game plan here. Running backs, running numbers out of the quarterbacks, tight ends on both sides. I think that's the way I might operate tonight, Ben.
Yeah, the spread feels really good at 3. It is that key number. It is flat at a field goal. Do not think it moves either which way entering the game. It would have to be a big bet or a huge sum of bets to get us up to 3.5 or down to 2.5, at least at this stage of the season debut. 46.5 is the number. I go under. I don't think we're going to see a 17-10 game once again, but I do lean to the under. From the trend perspective, last year, Kansas City, an underdog 4 times, including the Super Bowl, including in the AFC Championship game, and under Patrick Mahomes as the starting quarterback since 2018, the Chiefs have been a favorite in all but 16 games. As a home favorite in that span, 27-27-3 against the spread. Baltimore has been an incredible underdog with Lamar Jackson, 12-2 against the number when booked as a dog, and with John Harbaugh, who took over the reins in 2008. 61.8% is the cover percentage for the flock in that span. Now going on its 17th season, only the Steelers have a better cover percentage as an underdog in that same time frame. Baltimore last year, both 2-1 straight up and against the number as an underdog in 2023. I also focus on props first and foremost. I think early on you have a couple more edges there into the very sharp betting thing that is the National Football League. And I also go to the tight ends. I think you can make an argument for two of my favorite props being on each of the two tight ends that will start tonight. Travis Kelce, over 5.5 receptions. He had 11 in the AFC title game. We laid out, DRS, throughout the postseason, Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, how prolific they have been in postseasons together. And a lot was made about Travis Kelce's lack of production throughout the regular season, under 5.5 grabs in 4 of the final regular season games, but still in the 15 that he played last year. And don't forget, he didn't play in the season opener, so we know he's chomping at the bit tonight, a season ago at least, against Detroit. He still went over 5.5 grabs in 9 of the 15 regular season games. He was still by far Mahomes' favorite target, 121 targets. Rashee Rice had the second most at 102. I like Kelce over 5.5 receptions. I like Mark Andrews over 48.5 receiving yards. He is healthy now. Yes, there was the scare of the car accident that sidelined him from practice not all that long ago during Ravens training camp, but in the 9 games that he played a season ago that he was fully healthy for, over 48.5 5 times. I still think he's Lamar Jackson's favorite target. I believe the tight ends are still the top target for both quarterbacks. That's how I would look at the prop perspective of this game.
Absolutely. And also, let's have the fun here. We also have a boost tonight here that's going to be 450 yards combined between both quarterbacks tonight. That's boosted from a minus price to a plus price. I'll certainly be on that. But one of my favorite markets out here are the game specials featured market. You can't go wrong with this. Each team tonight to score a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown, it's plus 250. I just told you, Pacheco's going to get the goal line carries. Henry's going to get the goal line carries. I would be shocked if each one of these teams doesn't run it in. And then it leaves it up to, is each one of these quarterbacks going to throw one touchdown pass apiece? And also keep in mind, the reason why we love these bets, how many times have your prop bets been ruined by injuries to start the game? This isn't players here. So if Lamar Jackson, and we never want to see this happen, goes down with the injury in the first quarter, you still get to continue this bet with the backup quarterback. Same thing with the running backs and like there as well. So I love that. Plus 250, each team rushing and receiving. I think it's going to get done tonight. Excuse me, rushing and passing as a touchdown. Plus 250, love it.
23.5 is that first half total. Donnie, I'm going to give my NFL awards on the other side of the break.
Yeah, give
here
mine
are yours,
too.
By the way. Yeah, here are yours. Run through them very quickly. Flash up the graphic so everybody can see. Go.
There you go. All right. C.J. Stroud. Let me read them for myself as well. C.J. Stroud, 12-1. Tyreek, Offensive Player of the Year. Miles Garrett, Caleb Williams, Jared versus Kendrick. Put them any way you want. You're all going to win. Doesn't matter.
Hey, enjoy the money line. Have fun tonight. More TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2024 NFL season debuts tonight in Kansas City between the Chiefs and the Ravens. To Arrowhead we go for the opener for a second consecutive season. The Chiefs at home booked as a 3-point favorite, total of 46.5. Donnie and I just went through our best bets for this Thursday night debut between KC and the Flaw. Donnie very quickly gave you his picks for the season awards around the National Football League in 2024. We gave you a pick six of our favorite bets for the entirety of the NFL campaign this season. Now, I guess I will go through my season awards by myself. My MVP, as we shared earlier, is Joe Burrow at a 10-1 price. In the two fully healthy seasons that Joe Burrow has completed in his 4 NFL career years, he has thrown for at least 4,475 passing yards. He had 34 touchdowns back in 2021, 35 in 2022, and 2 years ago finished 4th in the NFL MVP voting. Also, you correlate individual success to that team success. When Joe Burrow has been healthy, the Bengals have been great. They have won the AFC North in both of those fully healthy seasons, played at least in the AFC Championship game in both, reaching a Super Bowl in 2021. Offensive Player of the Year, let's go with a young guy, the second year pro for Atlanta, Bijan Robinson, at 16-1. Now, it is more likely that a wide receiver wins the NFL Offensive Player of the Year award than strictly a running back. But there are exceptions to the rule. Christian McCaffrey being one. Bijan Robinson cut very much from that same cloth. CMC won the award a season ago. I expect really big things out of this Falcons offense. Week to week, it'll be a team that I peer at first and foremost to bet their games to the over. Love the over against the Steelers in the ATL on Sunday. Low number, 42.5. And I think Bijan Robinson might be the biggest beneficiary of Kirk Cousins being the quarterback in the ATL and a Zach Robinson West Coast scheme coming over from Los Angeles. I like the value at 16-1. Defensive player of the year. On the other side, Max Crosby of the Las Vegas Raiders. If you have any hope in the Raiders winning a bunch of games this year, it is Max Crosby, at least. I think that defense under Antonio Pierce. 9 of the last 10 DPOY winners have played on the defensive line. It's not normally a cornerback, only Stephon Gilmore, the exception of the rule in the last decade of winning defensive player of the year. So now let's dive into Crosby, third best price at plus 850. He's been a Pro Bowler the last 3 years. He finished fourth in DPOY voting a season ago. He had 14.5 sacks last year in 2023, up from 12.5 in 2021, up from his number, or 2022, I should say, up from his number in 2021. And he's led the National Football League in TFL's tackle for loss each of the last 2 years. He had 22 in 2022. He had 23 TFLs in 2023. That can only mean 24 in store for 2024. I like Max Crosby at a plus 850 number. Donnie shared his season awards pick six. Offensive rookie of the year was Caleb Williams. I completely agree. It's the short, chalky price at plus 120. And maybe you've heard from me as I have discussed and assessed this award market many a time. Only 4 of the last 10 winners of this award have played the quarterback position. Yes, C.J. Stroud won it a season ago. 3 of the last 5, Justin Herbert and Kyler Murray, played quarterback as well. But it's often difficult for a QB to win this award because think about it, just naturally. You're a quarterback drafted early, starting right away. That often means you go to a bad team. And unlike any other position in football, fair or unfair, we correlate team success, wins, and losses with the quarterback position. So if you're a young quarterback who was drafted in the top 5 and you're playing for a team that won 4 games a season ago and your win total is 5.5, there's not a lot of optimism around what you can do at the QB spot. Completely different scenario for Caleb Williams. The Bears have a win total of 8.5. They are expected to be a winning team to have a shot at earning an NFC playoff berth. Give me Caleb Williams at plus 120. I believe he brings them there. Defensive rookie of the year, a little bit more up in the air. Leiatu Latu is the favorite. He's the defensive end now in Indianapolis. I'm going to go with Johnny Newton. You'll see his name is Jerzon. Johnny is what he is known by. At least that's what it was in Champaign at Illinois. One of the best interior defensive linemen, I think, of this rookie class. 75-1. I'll take that big flyer of a number. Dan Campbell, coach of the year at 25-1. A guy that has often been booked as the favorite and yet has not won the award in his 3 seasons as the Lions head man. That happens this year. I think Detroit plays in a second consecutive NFC championship game. Enjoy the season opener tonight in Arrowhead. We'll talk tomorrow on a Football Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern.
Even when you're playing music, you're always listening to your baby. Especially when RSV is on your mind. Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP, is the first and only long-acting preventative antibody that gives babies the RSV antibodies they lack. Beyfortus is a prescription medicine used to help prevent serious lung disease caused by RSV or respiratory syncytial virus in babies under age 1, born during or entering their first RSV season, and children up to 24 months who remain at risk of severe RSV disease through their second RSV season. Your baby shouldn't receive Beyfortus if they have a history of serious allergic reactions to Beyfortus, nirsevimab ALIP, or any of its ingredients. Tell your baby's doctor about any medicines they're taking and all their medical conditions, including bleeding or bruising problems. Serious allergic reactions have happened. Get medical help right away if your child has any of the following signs or symptoms of a serious allergic reaction, such as swelling of the face, mouth, or tongue, difficulty swallowing or breathing, unresponsiveness, bluish color of skin, lips, or under fingernails, muscle weakness, severe rash, hives, or itching. Most common side effects include rash and pain, swelling, or hardness at their injection site. Individual results may vary. Ask your baby's doctor about Beyfortus. Visit Beyfortus.com or call 1-855-BEYFORTUS.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds, or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No